Joining us on the media. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hallelujah. We're excited about you, and we love so much the family of the Lord here, and you come to the Metroplex, come see us. Man, I know there's a lot to do around the Metroplex, and people come here. Sometimes we have pastors come here on vacation. They want to hang out with us. That's great. Well, you come hang out with us on Sunday morning when you come. Just schedule us in on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. And, man, we'll celebrate you. We'll love on you. You know, it's real deal here. You know, we're not religious, and, you know, we don't make a big deal about a lot of things, but we make a big deal about Him. And I will tell you this. This group of people is a loving group of people. And they'll love on you. You'll sense the love of Jesus when you walk in. And you'll sense a reality, a consciousness of Him, because that's what we celebrate. And I want to tell you, there's a principle in Scripture, you get what you honor. And I want to tell you, we want to honor Jesus, and we want to see Him manifested in people's lives. And you come, I don't think you'll be disappointed. It don't matter who's singing or who's preaching. It's not the messenger, it's the message. And man, we've got precious people here that minister the Word. And I'm just telling you, you'll be blessed. So, you're invited. Come on. And we'll hug you and bless you, and you're coming and you're going. Well, I'm telling you, this series is out of my life in the sense that it's taken the Lord about probably 35 years to get me to the place where I have a little bit of revelation, understanding, hope about this. And I want to tell you, but it's really more. I know communion's a part of the emphasis in this series, but I'm just doing that because I really believe the body of Christ is seeing it too lightly. And because communion represents the finished works of Jesus. And I want to tell you, that needs to be our focus. Our focus is the finished works. I want to tell you, we live by His obedience. I know there's a lot of teaching, and I know Nikki could tell you, she's spoken a number of places, there's a lot of emphasis in church life about your obedience. And I want to tell you, let me be clear, we're not for sin. And we don't take sin lightly. God doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't take sin lightly. He's against it. You know why? Because it's destructive. It's destructive. Sin's destructive. And I want to tell you, you don't need the enemy to have more of your mind. I'm just speaking lovingly, but you need every bit of it you got left. And you don't need to give it away to the enemy. And I'll tell you, he'll take it. He's a thief. He'll steal. He'll kill. He'll destroy. He's destructive. And sin's destructive. And it has a way of entrapping you. And so I'm just telling you, the real heartbeat of the Lord is for you to know Him. And in the process of getting to know Him, I want to tell you, He sets you free. It's transformation. It's not modification of behavior. It's transformation. And I know a lot of church life, you know, they talk about obedience. But I want to tell you where our freedom comes from. Our freedom does not come from the strength of your own human will to be able to make some things happen. Pull up by your brute straps and flex your muscles and your willpower and, you know, make something happen. That's not where your victory comes from. Our victory doesn't come from our obedience. It comes from the obedience of Christ on the cross. That's our victory. He's our victory. And if we can get church folk, the saints, to recognize that, you know what, stop running around the mountain and running around in circles doing all kind of aerobics to try to attain something, to try to earn something. Let's go back to the basic and look at the finished works. And let's recognize that it's by the obedience of Christ that is our victory. You know, when we work with people that are sexual addicts, and that's a very strong addiction. Probably the strongest that I've run across. But when we teach them that, you know, you don't take your thoughts and make them obey. You know, that's a battle you will not win. I mean, maybe for a few little skirmishes. But overall, that's a battle that you're not going to win. But when you bring your thoughts under the obedience of Christ, you see, Jesus on the cross, then I want to tell you something. That's touching the supernatural. Because that's relying on His obedience and not yours. But it's by the obedience of Christ that by grace through faith we receive. By His obedience, then those weapons of our warfare are mighty through God by His obedience, not by yours. But I'll tell you what happens when we identify with Him, when we receive of Him by faith, it's by the obedience of Christ. He is my victory. That's why we tell them, even in the midst of their sin, to go ahead and confess His word, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when we tell them to confess that, they say, well I'm just not there. It like I'm lying. I mean, I just, you know, you're telling me I just did this, and even while I'm, go ahead and confess. Yes, confess it. Your soul needs to hear the truth. Your ears need to hear you saying the truth. Your heart needs to identify with the truth, even when you got mud all over you. Let me say, especially when you got mud on you. Because it's by your identification, it's by your confessing Christ, it's by you seeing Christ on the cross, your sin, pow, being poured into Him. Because He took your sin. He took on your sin. That's where our freedom comes from. There's a spiritual connection, transformation that takes place when we identify with Christ. Now see, that's spiritual stuff. You got to have some revelation for that to connect. But the Holy Spirit will give you that. If you don't have it, just seek it. Because He wants you to know. Because He paid the price for you to be free. And so that's the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you in the Old Testament the picture of the Lord's heart for you. And I say picture because the New Testament says the Old Testament's pictures for us. You know I like to do that. I love to see the shadows and types and see Jesus. Old Testament's the New Testament concealed. New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But it's all about Jesus. See Jesus, okay? See Jesus in the Word. And so we're going to see His heartbeat for us because this is the picture that He has of you on His refrigerator. You know, you go to our house, Camp Hallsville, and you look on the fridge, you see grandkids on there. You know, man, I want to tell you, this is the Lord's picture of you that He has on His fridge. I don't mean that lightly. I'm just telling you, this is His heart for you. This is His will for you. This is His desire for you. Are you ready? Because we're not blessed by our doing. I'm trying to get people to understand this is what grace is that we're blessed by His doing. A lot of teaching about you got to do to be blessed. You got to earn it up. You got to attain it. No, we obtain it. We receive it. But it's by His doing. And by His doing, when we believe in His doing, then that's the power of our yes to Him. All right? That's the power. That's what faith is. And it doesn't just end up in the heart and in the mind. It ends up in action. Because when you believe it right, you'll act it out right. That's what Holy Spirit does. That's Holy Spirit power. That's resurrection life in you. That's why we got to reprogram the mind. Because when you believe it right, when you believe it, you'll receive it. When you receive it, you'll live it. You know, for people to say, well, I believe it, but I don't live it. No, you don't. You may be in the process, but you know, there's more to come. Can I show you Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8? Because this is God's will, God's picture of you. He pictures you as the blessed man or the blessed woman. Now, I got to say something about blessed right quick. Because it means to adore. Isn't it beautiful? It means to adore. Now, let me tell you something. I adore this woman right here, man. I adore her. It don't matter what she's wearing. You know what she hears from me? I like that. Hey, baby, you make clothes look good. All right? You know, and she knows I'm telling the truth. She don't act like it sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Somebody else can tell her, well, you look so good. Ah! Okay. I'm just telling you, that's humanity, all right? That's human. I adore that woman, man. Okay, to blessed means to be adored. Now, this is what we're trying to teach you in this process about reversing the curse. You receive the blessing, reverses the curse. Okay? And one of the ways you receive the blessing is to have a worthy manner of approach. Your approach to God is very important. Okay? You can't approach Him like a dude. One guy I was praying for, national ministry, man. I'm talking about in a singing group. You don't know who I'm talking about. She does. Singing group that received all kind of awards, were very famous years ago. And, man, he'd gotten off track. And he saw me on TV ministering and everything. He called me up. Man, he called me as soon as I got to the house out of the studio. It was a live thing. And he said, look, I sense some reality in you. I need some help. Man, he got honest with me. And man, when I first started, met with him, and man, we got a lot of stuff out there on the floor. I said, okay, I want you to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. Just tell him your heart. Don't get religious, just share your heart. He said, dude! I looked around to see who you're talking to. He calling God dude. I said, I wouldn't do that, but it's between him and the Lord. The Lord will work this out. But I want to tell you, after a few months, I'm telling you, he had some loving expressions to Father. I didn't hear dude anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to tell you, he got back to the place of adoring the Father. I'm having a little trouble with this thing. We paid way too much money for me to have trouble with it. How about that? You understand what I'm saying? He was adoring the Lord. Now, is any shock to anybody that the Lord restored his singing ministry? I want to tell you, when we adore Him, when we celebrate Him, when we esteem Him, when we glorify Him, when we magnify Him, I want to tell you, great things happen. Okay, when you adore Him. I want to tell you what happens when you adore Him. You're blessing Him. You can bless the Lord. The creator of the whole earth, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you can bless the Lord by loving on Him and esteeming Him. That's something all of us can do. And I want to tell you, He loves it. Now, I want to tell you what He does. Another description in blessed means to kneel. Isn't that interesting? Well, see, that's where our part comes in. We kneel, we submission, we surrender, we humble ourselves before Him. That is a worthy manner of approach. Do you see that? That's a worthy manner of approach. Now, I want to tell you what He does. You cannot out-bless the Lord. When you blessed the Lord, you are blessed. Now, listen. You can't out-love Him. You can't out-adore Him. You can't out-blessed Him. Because He's going to pour it all back. And more so. Because He loves you all the more time for than you do. And I want to tell you, very exciting. And so He blesses us. Now let's look at the blessed man, because this is the Lord's heartbeat for you. Here's the picture. Most blessed is the man or woman who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord. Do you see our position? Do you see the worthy manner of approach of your heart? It's not your list of do's and don'ts. It's not a religious check that box. This is looking at your heartbeat. Okay? Now, there are people who say they love the Lord, and they don't believe in, trust in, and rely on the Lord. But I want to tell you, the Lord sees the heart. This is what He's looking for, somebody just to turn their heart toward Him. That's the start. The man or woman who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. is your confidence and hope in the Lord, or is it on man? It makes a big difference. Is it on yourself? That makes a big difference. And so we adore Him by position and direction of our heart. Look what happens when we adore Him. We are the blessed man because He blesses us back. And I want you to see what it looks like. This is what you look like as a blessed man and blessed woman. Now, let me be real clear. Jesus paid the price for every single person that's listening, every single person in this building. No matter what you did yesterday, He has paid the price for you to be a blessed man or a blessed woman. Don't you want that? I believe you do, or you wouldn't be here. And He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when He comes. Now, I want to tell you something. A tree, I loved to hunt. I don't hunt anymore. I still fish a little bit. But, man, I've spent a lot of my life in the woods. It was up, even when I was up, before I was a, I mean, in fifth grade, I started hunting. And, you know, by myself, weapon and all that. But in the country, that's what you did. But I want to tell you something. Man, I loved it. It was an escape for me. It was therapy for me. Even at 10 years old, I needed to get away from my house a little bit, if you understand. And the woods was great, man. I was Davy Crockett, man. I'm Daniel Boone. I was having a blast. But I want to tell you what I learned. I didn't have to be taught this. I learned this, that you know what? I hunted by the creeks or by the rivers. I'd go to the river bottom. I'd go to the creek bottom. I'd follow the creeks along the path. You know why? Because where the creek was is where the healthiest trees were. And the healthiest trees drew the most wildlife. Does that make sense? They had the most abundant fruit because their roots were in the water. I want to tell you, that's you. I want to tell you what the water is. He's a river of life. That's Jesus. You put your roots in Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's beautiful. You know what? This word is pictured as the water of life. The word is pictured as water. Living water. You put your roots deep in this word. And I want to tell you something. You're going to be healthy. And I want to show you what a blessed man or woman who have their roots in Jesus, their roots in the Word of God, this is what they look like. Shall not see and fear when heat comes. Now I want to tell you, heat still comes to them. Heat still comes. Heat comes to everybody. You don't ever get so spiritual or so close to God that heat don't ever show up. That drought don't show up. That attack doesn't show up. Okay? I want to tell you it does. But I want to tell you something. What happens when your roots are in the water of the Word, when your roots are connected with Jesus, you're in vine life, the flow of Jesus' life in your life, you don't fear it and you don't even recognize it. Everybody else will be barking and sharing about, oh, this and this and this, oh, this and this. You say, what are you talking about? I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed. Well, you know, this fuel is costing so much money. Well, the same Jesus that paid for it last year is who's paying for it this year. Huh? You see what I'm saying? And so I'm telling you, you shall not see and fear when he comes. Now, there's a lot of fear on the earth. I understand unbelievers fearing. They don't know. But believers, we have the opportunity for our roots to be rooted in Him, founded in Him. And I want to tell you, when your roots are in the Word of God, man, when you're founded on Jesus, when you're in vine life, heat comes, but you don't even recognize it. You sure don't fear it. Your leaf shall be green, always be green. Somebody say evergreen. Evergreen. That's who we are in Christ. We can be evergreen no matter what the season. I love that. Shall not be anxious. Boy, a lot of anxiety. A lot of full of care, a lot of worry. I'm leaving another part of the state this past week, and on the way out, boy, they just let me know. They're just trying to be sweet and nice. Now, you be careful out there now on them old dangerous highways. You be careful. I just told them what the Word says. Word says care for nothing. Don't put fear of care on me. Don't be full of care on me, okay? Hey, be careful for nothing is what the Word says. You know what I do? I trust in Him. I depend on Him. I told him, I said, hey, I'm getting in that Red Hawk right there, and it's going to be a holy roller. I'm going to enjoy the presence of Jesus for hours on the way back to where the beautiful blonde is. And I want to tell you, me and Jesus are going to have a blast in there, because that's what we do. And I ain't fearing. I ain't anxious. Sorry. No, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. We don't have to be full of care out there on them old dangerous highways. Well, you know what? Jesus is your divine protection. Let's trust in Him. Lord Jesus, we love You. We trust in You. This is what happens when we believe in Him, trust in Him, rely on Him. We have our hope and confidence in the Lord. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be full of care in the year of drought. Well, everybody else is in drought. Well, Jesus is your shepherd. This is what He says. You shall not cease yielding fruit even when everybody else is crying about it. You don't cease yielding fruit. That means fruitful all year long. I love it. This is a beautiful picture. This is what the Lord paints for us in the Bible. God's Word's amazing. Is God's Word amazing? This is the picture of the believer that's saying yes to God. I love it. One that depends on Him, trusts in Him, leans on Jesus. They are blessed. Now here's the question. Are you blessed? Man, this is how you got to see yourself. You see yourself as a blessed believer. Huh? Man, I love the trees by the river. They have more than enough nourishment. Jesus is your river of life. His words are nourishment. You know what it does? It gives you robust strength. Not just barely enough getting by. Jesus is more than enough. Man, the trees by the river, they got more than enough strength. They got energy. They got good success. There's fruit on their limbs. Heat comes, but you will not fear it. It will not devastate you. Even if they fall by your right side or on your left side or 1,000 by your right side, Psalm 91 says it won't come near you. You know, Brother Tim, it's a big... No, I'm telling you, what are you believing for? Let's put our focus on Jesus. Now, there's a very realistic picture in verses 5 and 6 right before this. But see, I'd love to start out with a positive. But this is what happens when a believer says no to God. This is what happens when a believer wants to trust in the government or wants to trust in medicine as their protector. It's okay for God to use medicine. It's okay for God to use the government. But who are you trusting in? Who are you depending on? Who are you leaning on? Okay, let's see what he says here in verse 5 and 6. We're going to look at this real quick because I got better things to say. But you need to know. Cursed with great evil is the strong man. You see where they start out? Strong. I got this. I can handle this. Who trusts in and relies on frail man. Making weak human flesh his arm. Whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. Do you see what happens here? This is a believer that's not believing. They've turned their heart and their mind away from the Lord. They're not esteeming the Lord. They're not glorifying. They're not magnifying the Lord. They're not adoring the Lord. Their focus is on themselves. Tunnel vision. Focusing on man. On their, all about them. Self-focused, not Jesus-focused. Their heart turns away from the Lord. Let's see what they look like. You want to see what they look like? For he shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert. You don't want to be that. That's not. Oh, but wait a minute. That describes a lot of people, though. And he shall not see any good come. Now look, here's the deal here. The blessed man, he comes, he don't see it. He don't even recognize it, and he don't fear it. Here's the cursed man, okay? And he's not cursed because God's cursing him. He's cursed because he's saying no to God. He's turned his heart away from God. Do you see that? I hope you see that in this series. If not, I got to start over. Somebody better say amen. There you go. This one, the cursed man doesn't even see when good comes. Boy, isn't that true? I have people show up in my life, boy, I'm telling you, they got it bad. And they're talking about, oh, what all wrong, what all bad is happening, all this and this and this. And I'll say, well, let's talk about what the Lord's done for you. I can't think of anything. Well, I help them with that. But they're telling me who they are. They don't see when good comes. They'll dwell in parched places in the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Does that sound like being isolated? Does it sound like being lonely? Depressed, discouraged? Yeah, it does. See, there's a big difference between a believer that's trusting in their self. They're a dried up shrub. They're like the little tumbleweed come rolling by. There they are. Huh? Tired, no fruit, death, more aware of death than life, no life, no purpose, no motivation, no success. Good still comes, but they don't see it. Big difference in the believer that says yes to God. The heat comes, no fear. Not even conscious, not focused on it. They continue to be strong and flourish, even with a drought with everybody else. Evergreen. That means that Jesus' life is in you. You're enjoying divine health, energy, strength, creativity, motivation, and purpose. Is that possible? You better believe it. You let Jesus set your atmosphere. Some homes that we walk in to minister to, there's an atmosphere of death. I am not kidding you. There's an atmosphere. What kind of atmosphere are you allowing to be around you? I want to tell you, your workplace, it needs to be an atmosphere of hope and of life and of divine energy and faith, huh, and love. You say, well, you don't understand who I work for. Well, I'm going to tell you, your little corner, your little area that you're responsible for, let the life of Jesus be in that. Okay? How about your home? You know, well, you don't understand who I'm married to. Well, I understand that you have a big part of it. And I want to tell you, in your area, I want to tell you, you can set the atmosphere of love, hope, and joy, of faith. I'm telling you, of kindness. I'm telling you. Okay? We don't have to bow down to death atmosphere. What's flowing in your life? There, I want to tell you, when Jesus' life is in you, there is stress, but you're not stressed. Do you see that? I didn't get a big amen on that, but that's true. I'm telling you, it's connected to fear. We don't fear. Panic attacks. No panic attacks, because a blessed believer doesn't even be anxious even in drought, even under attack. We don't have to be anxious. The world may be filled with bad news, but we're at peace. Will not cease from yielding fruit. Does anybody see this? I'm so glad, because I need to move on. So our part is to trust in the Lord. That's where our favor comes from. And when we trust in the Lord, now I want to tell you, religion has a way of putting rules around blessings of God. I got to tell this to you, they build fences around the blessings. And religion will say this, now you got to do all these steps to earn that, to get that blessing. And so there's that part of it, and that promotes self-righteousness. That's anti-God. Self-righteousness is anti-God. And then on the other side, there's another fence. It's like two fences. There's two fences. And the other fence wants to disqualify you from receiving because of your past failure. It's called condemnation. Do you see that? Well, I want to tell you, either way, you're out. Religion will work both sides of it. Well, I want to tell you, the devil does too. Okay? I'm going to give you a little quick example. And like you, I say, I don't mean any harm by it, but back in the 80s, I think, yeah, 80s, there was a teaching that came out to pray for an hour. Now, I want to tell you something. I probably already was. And I know that the teaching meant well, and the revelation that one man got on that teaching, it was especially worked for him. But I want to tell you something. See, this is where law comes in. Legalism comes in. It's when you take your revelation on how the Lord's working in you and you expect everybody else to do the same thing. I want to tell you, the Lord has a way of working with us personally. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference between principles and law. Big difference between principles and rules and regulations. And I want to tell you, see, you could follow the same steps this man did, and you can miss. And I want to tell you something. The pastor I was under at that time, he said, "We're going to do this. We're going to do this." And I said, "Well, okay, we can, but, you know, prayer's more than that." But he said, no, we're going to do this. And I said, okay. And he said, this is the deal. He said, if we get enough people doing this every day, God won't have a choice but to bless us. I'm not lying to you. That was his statement. And I told him, I said, that scares me. I said, because that don't sound like the Lord. He said, oh, you wait and see. Well, we did. And I want to tell you, I'm going to just be real honest with you. Before I followed that leadership example to do it, because I was on staff, and I did it. But I want to tell you, before then, I was having so much fun with Jesus. I was having a blast. You think I get up early then? I was getting up early then. You see, it's been a lifestyle for me. I was up at 4 every morning then, and I was enjoying the Lord. I was having a great time in the Word. I was having a great time in prayer. And then I got under this program, and I got to dreading it. I'm being honest with you. I got to dreading it. I remember saying one day, Lord, I got to do this hour of prayer. I ain't looking forward to it. And I'm not kidding you now. Don't get offended by this. Don't make this a test of fellowship. But I believe the Lord said, I ain't looking forward to it either. Now, I want to tell you something. That didn't last very long. It lasted a few months. And at the church, it lasted for a few months. And then we were kind of set free, you know. And I want to tell you, I got to reconnect and enjoy it. Now, look, it may have been some folk there that really got connected with that. And that's okay. I'm just telling you, watch out. Because religion wants to take the blessings of God and put fences around it. Put rules and regulations, or disqualify you because of your disqualifications. Now, I'm going to be real clear about this. I want to tell you, there's people who won't agree with this. It's all right. It don't offend me. Don't let it offend you. But your disqualifications do not disqualify you from Jesus. I'm talking grace. I'm talking gospel. But what I'm telling you is that Jesus came for those who know they're disqualified. That's what a Savior's for. That's what grace is for. That's what forgiveness is for. Because He loves to restore. All right? So don't put rules and regulations on the blessings of God. I had some of those folk come a few years later. They'd just gotten hold of the teaching. And you may have heard me say this. I've referred to it before. But they met with me and they said, hey, Pastor, how long do you pray every day? And I said, well, I knew where they were heading on it. I knew. Okay, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit, I'll be honest. But I told them, I said, well, I try not to go more than about 10 minutes. They said, oh, we got you beat on that. We pray for an hour every day. I knew they were going there. It was kind of a setup, and I said, no, I don't think you understand what I meant. I try not to go more than 10 minutes without talking to Jesus and listening to Him. Because you know what it is? It's heart-to-heart connection. That's what prayer is. I want to tell you, if you want to use principles and steps, that's okay. But the main thing about prayer is that you connect with Him. He wants to hear you share your heart. You know what else He wants? He wants you to hear Him share His heart for you. It's not a one-way deal here, friends and neighbors. We need to hear Him. We need to fellowship with Him. This is the time where you esteem Him, you adore Him, you minister to Him. You minister to the Lord by loving on Him and blessing Him and enjoying His presence. I want to tell you, the beautiful blonde and I had a day off together yesterday. We have to set them on the calendar, and we were due. But I want to tell you, it was a great day. You know, where all did you go? What all did you do? Well, none of your business. But what I'm telling you is we didn't have to. We did go somewhere, but we didn't have to. I want to tell you what's beautiful about this beautiful blonde is I enjoy her whether she's talking or not. I enjoy her whether she's cooking or not. I enjoy her if she's not doing anything but reading. Now look, yesterday she was reading and she wasn't even in the same room. But I want to tell you, I was enjoying her. Because you know what I'd do? I'd lean forward because I could see her. She asked me, what are you doing? I said, I'm enjoying your profile. Because you know what? It's enjoying one another. How long has it been since you've really enjoyed the Lord? I want to try that in your prayer time. To just enjoy Him. And watch what happens. When you, and I say this, when a large percentage of your time is enjoying the Lord, and then you have prayer requests, they're that big. When your love life with the Lord is this big, your prayer requests are this big. And when you do mention them to the Lord, and He wants you to, when you do mention them to the Lord, they're not the main thing. They're the minor thing. He the main thing. And when you do mention them, you go ahead and say thank you because you know it's done. Because of His love for you. His acceptance in you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Okay. Listen. Follow the direction of the Lord's heart. You say, well, I thought this was about communion. It is. The Lord is your shepherd. He'll give you direction about it. And so listen to Him and do what He says. That's our model from Jesus. He listened to Father and He did what He said. So follow the leadership of your shepherd as Jesus taught you to operate. That's what He did. What's the Father doing? What's the Father say? The Holy Spirit is your life coach. He'll make it clear to you. He's your personal coach in this journey. What do? Humble yourself. Seek the Lord. Submit to Jesus. Ask Him. I dare you to ask Him. Ask, seek, and knock. Listen, if you've got a need in an area, hey, He wants you to lean in on Him. If there's a gap in your life, in an arena, hey, a miss in your life, you know what He wants? He's excited about you depending on Him. You see lack, you trust in Him. See, it's an opportunity to connect with Him. It's an opportunity to trust Him, to depend on Him. Hey, He's your Savior. Listen to me. He's your rescue. He is your recovery. Hey, He's the one. He's the deliverer from addiction. He's the one that sets us free. And so you go ahead and confess. Even in the midst of an addiction, you confess. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's my deliverer. His blood paid for it. His blood paid for my deliverance. That's powerful. What about the weaknesses? Well, Brother Tim, I'm just weak in an area. Well, that don't offend the Lord. He knows you. Well, that's very human of you to be weak. But I want to tell you, in the areas that you feel weakest, that's where God's grace will abound in your life if you'll let Him. Get ready. Place your trust in Him. That's how we can walk in His abundance. That's how we receive. His grace is your rescue. 2 Corinthians 12:10. So for the sake of Christ, and by the way, that's what your life is about. If you make your life not about you and about Him, Revelation makes it clear. You're here on this earth to bring Him pleasure. When you make it about Him, you're going to see He's made it all about you. You make it all about you, you can miss. You make it about you, you lose. You make it about Him, you win. It's the principle of higher life. Which, you want lower life or higher life? For the sake of Christ, this is what He says, I'm well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities. You say, boy, that sounds like a big, bold lie. No, I want to tell you, He's focusing on Christ. He's seeing Jesus for the sake of Christ, for His sake. I'm well pleased and take pleasures in infirmities. You know what? I'm going to esteem Him. I'm going to honor Him in the midst of everything going wrong. I'm going to honor Him and esteem Him. I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to magnify Him. I'm going to adore Him. I'm going to blessed Him. He's going to blessed me back. He can't help it. That's His love life for me. Infirmities, insults. When somebody insults you, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hardships, they're temporary. Let's honor the Lord. Persecutions, perplexities, distresses, they come. That's real journey on planet Earth. It's a fallen world. But I want to tell you, in the midst of those, by faith, because we're focused on Him, we trust Him, depend on Him, lean on Him. We're a blessed man or a blessed woman. When I'm weak in human strength, get ready. I'm trusting and depending on the Lord. And there's an exchange that takes place. When I come to Him and celebrate Him in my weakness, when I present my weakness unto Him, He's my strength. Because I'm trusting and depending on Him and not man's strength, right? Not the shrub bush, the tree planted by the river of water. Then I'm truly strong. Why? By His strength. I'm able. I'm powerful in His strength. It's divine strength. It's an exchange. My weakness, divine strength. You see that? Man, we need that. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. What do? We rest in the Father's promise. Look at the scripture right before it. He said to me, my grace, my favor, my loving kindness, my mercy. Is that great? We need that. I'm telling you, for the sake of Christ, this brings Him honor and glory. This is His pleasure, is to pour on us His favor, loving kindness, and mercy. Now, let me tell you something. Because He has done that, and because He is doing that, it is our responsibility for His sake to pass that on to other people. If there's anyone in your life that has unforgiveness against you, have you gone to them? Wait, you know, we're talking Bible here. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said it. Well, no, Jesus said it's priority to Him. If it's priority to Him, let it be priority to you. Matter of fact, Jesus said, hey, you come to church, even before they give the offering, you recognize somebody, man, I got an offense. You leave church. That means it's priority. Go take care of it. You know what you do? You humble yourself. You ask forgiveness. Well, I'm just 1% wrong. Well, ask forgiveness for that part. And don't mess with their part. That's between them and God. Well, I know they're not going to respond. It don't matter how they respond. You're doing this for the sake of Christ. Amen. Brother Tim, good preaching. Brother Tim, way to go, brother! He said to me, my grace, my favor, love. Do you want more grace? I want to tell you what happens when we ask forgiveness. It's an opportunity to experience more grace. When we humble ourselves before God and man. You know what happens when you walk away, even if they are cursing, even if they don't respond right? It's okay. You're not responsible for how they respond. You're responsible for how you. And so as you're walking away and they're talking bad, you know what God does? He puts you in a shower. And it's a shower of grace coming on you, and you go, woo, glory. Lord, I'm so glad I did this for your sake, because it wasn't for me, but it for you. But I am so blessed. I did this to bless you, and I am so blessed. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, we're having a blast today, aren't we? My grace, my favor, loving kindness, and mercy is enough for you. It's more than enough. Can somebody say more than enough? It's sufficient against any danger. It enables you to bear the trouble manfully. I want to tell you what that means. His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness will make you look good. I'm telling you, make you look like you got it going on. That's the way other people see it. But I want to tell you how you know. You know, it ain't me, it's Him. And my weakness in this, He showed Himself strong. That's just Jesus, my friend. But He'll cause you to look like a superhero because He's the super. He brought His supernatural to your natural. And He makes you look good. That's what grace looked like. Now, when they come to brag on you, you be sure and say, it's Him. For my strength and power are made perfect. In other words, they're fulfilled and completed. And show themselves most effective in your weaknesses. Now, see, when we're convinced that Jesus is in the midst and He's going to show up and He's going to turn whatever circumstance or situation to my good and His glory, then we can by faith say, bring it on, baby. I'm going to praise Him anyway. And we'll let Him be Himself. Victorious overcomer. He make you look like an overcomer. And we know He the overcomer. Therefore, because this is true, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities. This is how we approach Him in a worthy manner. All this junk that comes, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to believe and I'm going to have faith. This is temporary. He's going to show Himself mighty in my behalf. So I'm going to go ahead and thank Him ahead of time. I was convinced of it. This is the way he was operating. Why? I'm going to do this even when weaknesses and infirmities come, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, pitch a tent over, and dwell upon me. Now, I want to tell you, that's not just an umbrella. Beautiful Blonde and I were caught in a frog strangler one day. It was raining hard. One umbrella. I had it over her. She's saying, baby, you getting wet. That's my purpose. Is to cover you. And I want to tell you, that was an umbrella. Hey, the Lord covers you with more than an umbrella. He pitches a tent over you. And that tent over you is bigger enough than any frog strangler that's coming, any storm that's coming in your life. The tent of the Lord over you is more, somebody say more than enough. On me. That's real. And so this is why that even in communion we practice remembering. We're fixing to receive communion. But in communion we practice remembering Him. Jesus said, remember me. Remember me when you do this. Don't focus on you. Focus on me. Because by our remembering is how we receive. By remembering is how we believe. How we believe is how we receive. It's recognizing our position in Him through His finished work. I want to announce, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you're near Him and completely loved and accepted by Him. Is that great news? Look at Jesus. Focus on Him, even in communion, in prayer, in Bible study, in praise. Focus on Him. Make it about Him. Approach Him in a worthy manner. That's what that means. You're approaching the Lord. Bible study, prayer, praise, communion, whatever it is. Your encounter with the Lord every day. Approach Him in a worthy manner. And I want to tell you, when you do that, He sees it. And it's on. Be Jesus conscious is what we're saying. A lot of the, sometimes in churches, there's more consciousness of sin than there is of Jesus. I'm just telling you. Listen to me. I know that there's results from loading people up with the guilt over their sin. But that's not why Jesus came. I want to tell you, He wants you to be Jesus conscious and not sin conscious. If you're sin conscious, the enemy's going to use that. You're disqualified from receiving the blessing because you're sin conscious. I want to tell you, His blood took care of your sin. You know what He wants? He wants you to be forgiveness conscious. He wants you to be conscious of Him, His love, His peace, His grace, His power. And when you're conscious of Him, see, that's how you receive. That's a secret. That's a secret. We get people to be Jesus conscious and not sin conscious. That's the wisdom key for receiving. That's what the finished works is all about. That's what communion is all about, because it represents the finished works. So that's why it's more important than what I knew for about 20 years. Look to Jesus for healing in your relationship. It's time for me to wrap up. Look to Jesus for healing in your relationship. You got a relationship that's out of sync. You know what? Look to Jesus. Trust Jesus, depend on Jesus, lean on Jesus, and receive of Him personally. And then I want to tell you, that relationship problem becomes His battle and not your battle. Oh, that's so real. You got to catch that. Look, I got some major decisions coming up in my life. I'm already praying about it. My wife asked me during prayer meeting Wednesday night. Y'all were here. The Shipleys were there. Well, why don't you just tell us what all you're praying? No, we're not ready for that. You're not ready for that. That's some big time stuff. I'm talking to Jesus about it right now. It's some major decisions. But I want to, some of you got major decisions coming up in your life. Listen to me. Yeah. You need wisdom. Wisdom is hearing God. Man's suggestions ain't going to get it. We ain't got time for that. I don't have time to miss. Do you? I don't want to miss. Good news. He don't want you to miss. And He'll give you wisdom in making those big decisions. Don't do it without Him. And don't do it till He administers peace to you. And that the umpire in your life, the Holy Spirit, says this is God's yes to you. And so that's what you got to rely on. And so in order for you to break an addiction, I'm going to tell you, addictions are, man, they're powerful. But I want to tell you something, they're weak compared to Jesus. But in order for you to break that addiction, you know what? You got to lean, trust in, and depend on the Lord. When you do that, there's a transfer, an exchange of strength for your weakness. That's how you get free. Hey, how about for your finances? He's the unlimited supply. I haven't met anybody recently who said, I make too much money. Everybody got the same thing, more money. I do too. I'm there. You know what? We have to have a miracle. You do too. The church does. But I want to tell you something. When we trust and depend and lean on Him for our finances, He's our supply. We focus on the supply and not the lack. We focus on the promise, not the problem. How about at your job every day? You have a job every day. Well, whatever. Most of you work. I hope you do. You ought to. But I want to tell you something. At your job, you know, you can trust the Lord for His favor. More than enough grace is for your workplace. It's not just for church. It's for your life. And God can put His favor on your life where that, you know what? Because you're not doing the human thing, you're doing the godly thing. Your bosses, your authorities will see God on you. God will give you success outside of your gifting. He will use you to magnify Himself, to bring glory to Himself. And I want to tell you, it's a good thing when God's on you, because He shows Himself mighty in your behalf. And so behold Him. Embrace your secure identity in Him. And you know what? That's all I'm going to cover today. I've gone a little far. But I wanted to get this far because I wanted you to know that the same Jesus we're talking about, He's the blessing. And when you're wrapped up in the blessing, you're reversing the curse that's on this earth. That's God's desire, God's picture for you. Would you see that? Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank You so much for Your power, Your presence, Your promises that are ever true for us in the right now. Thank You that Your promises, Your heart for us is already yes and amen. Lord Jesus, we want to give You back yes and amen. We want to agree with the way You see us. We want to agree with Your desire for us. We want to agree with Your plan and purpose for us. Lord, we want to bring You honor and glory. We want to bring much fruit to You. Thank You that by Jesus Christ, we are a blessed man and a blessed woman. We are a blessed family. We are a blessed church. And we give You praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank You, thank You. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. All right. We're going to receive communion. So take your elements. And remember, this is the worthy manner, is that you see Him. You approach Him with the humility and love and surrender to Him. You make it about Him.